to focus on these three psukim, four psukim. One of them is, one of the rabbis is going to deal with contrast. So Mishpatim deals with a whole gamut of social behavior, interpersonal relationships between human beings and society. So it's important to first cite John Locke. He's not in the Torah, but John Locke, a very, very famous British philosopher, expressed a very important idea, which is really a Torah idea, which is that autonomy and freedom is very important in terms of humanity. And God wants man to be free and to be autonomous. That's one of the reasons that God created a human being in the singular rather than in the aggregate. However, when a person lives in a society, in order for society to be able to run smoothly, a person has to sometimes forfeit some of their inalienable rights of freedom and autonomy for the social good. And the Torah is very much in favor of that idea. And therefore, we have many, many rules and regulations about interpersonal relationships. However, what we're going to be doing today are three, four verses which have nothing to do with giving up autonomy, but in fact, it's where human beings use their feelings of aggression and domination, and sometimes superiority to cause pain and inflict distress to people who are powerless. And the Torah rails against this, as we will see. Beger lo toner v'lo tilchatzena. Somebody who is an alien, somebody who is new to the religion, somebody who is a convert, you may not jibe, J-I-B-E, nor may you take advantage of and cause that person distress. Ki gevim heyitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, you should understand what it's like to be a foreigner, what it's like to be an alien, what it's like to be somebody who is the other, and therefore you may not do that. Kol almano v'yosom lo ta'anun. Nor are you allowed to cause any pain by oppressing the widow or the orphan. Imane ta'ane'osa. For if you will cause suffering and feelings of persecution to him, notice you should say, it should say osam, because you're dealing with the almano and the yosom. We'll have to talk about that. For if he will cry out to me, Shomeya Eshma Tsa'akaso, I shall verily hear his cry. Okay, so what? It's a little bit like a person who says, if you make even cross into the other person's border, you have no idea how terrible things are. But of course, nothing is ever stated. So Rashi will deal with this over here. So what? What are you going to do about it, God? And the next pasuk says, "V'chara api," it will arouse my ire. "V'harakti atchem b'charav," I will kill you. "V'hayun esheichem almanot v'nechem yatomim," and your wives will become widows, and your children will become orphans. Very stark statements. Very powerful statements. So let's analyze this a little bit and see what we come up with. So Rashi is a bit surprised. And of course, he's just quoting earlier sources. This is quoting Rabbi Akiva, as we'll see later on. Now, it's only the widow and the orphan that you're not allowed to oppress. What about the taxi driver? Not going fast enough. Doesn't know directions. Doesn't speak English. What about the people who clean in your house? What about those people? You're allowed to cause them distress just because they have husbands or parents? So Rashi says, no. Hu hadin l'chol adam. But the Torah is saying, do not use your power to inflict suffering or pain or distress to anybody. But the Torah usually speaks about things that are prevalent, things that are common. Because in every society, widows and orphans are weak. Because of their weakness, because you can get away with it, That is the, or those are the groups that people use because of their weakness. But it's anybody. Then Rashi says, "Imane ta'ane oto, if you shall cause them to suffer, harezeh mikra katzer." This is a cut off verse. It doesn't tell you and what the consequences are. Gazam v'lo perush oncho. There is this extravagant statement in a double language, and it doesn't say what's going to happen. Kamo, similar, we have l'chein kol horei kayin. Anybody who will kill kayin, gazam. That's an extravagant statement. V'lo perush oncho. Afkan im ta'aneoto. In other words, God's wagging his finger kaviyachol at you. You better not, because why? Loshan gazum, kolomar sovcha litol cholcha, meaning to say God's not saying exactly what it is, but you'll get yours. Lama, why? Why are you going to get yours? Kitzaok yitzak elai, you cause enough pain for this person to cry out to me. Meaning, there's nobody else to cry out to. V'hayun esheichem al manot. Now, again, Rashi's quoting, shouldn't be angry at Rashi, what he's about to say, he's quoting the Talmud. Now, all the verse had to say is, v'chara api v'harakti etchem v'charef, period. That I am going to be angry, and I'm going to slay you for doing that to the widow and to the... Now, if a person's married and he dies, so his wife becomes a widow. If a person has children and he dies, his children become orphans. So it didn't have to say the consequences. Everybody understands that. So why did it say it? The answer is because it doesn't mean that. It means, Ela hareze klala acheret. What the Torah is saying is the consequences are terrible. She yihiyu hanashim tsurot ka'almanot chayot. Shelo yu edim lemitat ba'alehen. V'tiyena asurot lehinaseh. What's going to happen is you're going to go to work one day and you're going to disappear. Nobody's going to know where you are. Now, in fact, you're dead. Somebody pushed you onto the tracks in the subway, nobody saw, and you're under some train someplace. So nobody knows that you're dead. You're dead. But your wife doesn't know where you are. She doesn't know you're dead, so she can't remarry. V'habanim yu yutomim, and the children will remain without a father, because she can never remarry. Shelo yanichum beitin, and the children will be yatomim as well, because even if they grow older, lo yanichum beitin leireid lenichsei aveihem l'vishen yodin emetu im nishbu, because they're not going to be able to inherit the estate, because you can only inherit the estate if the person dies. For all they know, you could be someplace in Borneo, south of Borneo, living it up. So that's a double curse. That's Rashi. Now the Ibn Ezra, as we would understand, is more involved in the actual text, in the actual language. Because the language is vexing because of all of the double verbs. So the Ibn Ezra says in number 3, Imane, if you will persecute them, Vihine Ha'onesh, and there's going to be a punishment. Im echad ya'ane ve'ein ozer. So let's say there's a very nasty person in your neighborhood, and he goes around causing distress to the widows and to the orphans and to the people who are less powerful. And you know about it. And he's your friend. And he's a nasty guy. But you don't say anything. You don't want to lose his friendship. He's got the best Super Bowl party in all of New Rochelle. You're not going to say a thing. And he invites you every year. And you do nothing about it. And nobody else does anything about it. Ha'onesh al kulam. It's not only in the person who causes the distress and persecution, but it's the people who witness this and don't stop it and don't say anything. And that's why it has the plural and the singular. Al kein ba'acharav, v'chara api v'harakti etchem. Even though it says imane ta'ane, which is in the singular. If you will cause oppression, God says, I will become irate at you, at all of you. That's why, b'harakti etchem, and you, harakti kulchem, you get the same punishment. You can't stand idly by while people do this. V'amar ki im tzaok yitzake lai al hayaton. And that's a reference to the adult, be it the adult neb, the adult widow. But the other phrase, crying, tzaok yitzak. Now, who usually cries? Adults don't usually cry, certainly not publicly. But as children, that's going on the yatom. V'chein din ha'almana. The same thing will be true if you make the widow cry. But at least the woman who is the almana, she's an adult, she's mature, she has the ability, she may not be able to, but she certainly has the ability to defend herself because she can speak and she can say, stop acting that way towards me. It's not nice. But a child can't express himself. So the child cries. Okay, so we're speaking about a very bad situation. These things happen all of the time, unfortunately. Okay. Now the Ramban, we're going to skip the first part of the Ramban because he just argues with Rashi. And he says, Rashi, I don't know where you got this idea. The very next pasuk says, V'chara api v'harakti etchem. So if in the next verse, it's, you can't say it was an extravagant statement of Gazam and you didn't give us the punishment. We did give the punishment. So he disagrees with Rashi. So let's look at the second paragraph. V'hanachon be'enai. But what I think the verse is saying is, "Panachon be'enai," says the Ramban, number four, second paragraph in number four. Ki yomar im aneta ane oto rak tzaok yitzake lai bilvad miyad eshma tzakato. Inenu tzarich ledaber ledavar achar klal. What God is saying is, you know, I watch everything goes on in the world. I'm not just like sleeping. I know every interchange. I know every interaction that takes place all over the world for all of the billions of people. And I'm in control. But I have rules. I have regulations of how I react. Sometimes I don't react for generations. Sometimes I react immediately. Only I and my Midat Hadin know, and my Midat Rachamim know how that works. But there's one exception. When it comes to the people who are the oppressed, when it comes to the people who live in the underbelly of society, the people who have no power, the people who are forced to be silent, that's all they need to do. If you make them feel bad enough that they cry out to me, that's it. I will immediately react to the people who are doing this. Bahatam, why is that? Because God always reacts, as it were, midah keneged midah, measure for measure. The way you behave, God is your shadow in reward and punishment. Now, why did you pick on him? Why did you pick on her? There are so many people to pick on. You're not going to start hitting little kids if they have a father. The father come over and punch you in the nose. So you find the child who has no father. And you're going to hit him. You're going to curse him. You're going to cause him pain. Because you know nobody's going to retaliate on his behalf. So what I'm saying to you is, he's got the biggest daddy of all. He has somebody who is watching over him. Very often people look for people to help them and they think they have people to help them, but they always have to find those people. It's not so simple. Maybe your father is smaller than this guy. He's not going to do anything. He'll try to explain away why that person hit you. And they're not going to be able to save you. But this child, this woman, they cry out to me. I'm taking care of it. And who's bigger than me? Who am I afraid of? Nobody. Kinokem Hashem Ubal Chema, as Nachum said, Prophet Nachum. Again, about the same idea about Amanoti and Tamim. And that is why the Pasuk says what it says. So this is a really, it's an earth-shattering thing. It's an earth-shattering thing. So if you're a bully, you're in trouble. You're in trouble with God. Yeah. This is not a woke statement. Not at all. I mean, it's without getting involved in a totally different topic, but what you find in this parsha, in the case where a person kills Bishogeg, that strange idea, you find more of a divine interjection into humanity than you find in any other parsha in the Torah. That God basically is saying here, I will react. I will react. I'm here, I'm present, and I'll take care of certain things. So that's correct. That's why Rashi cites.
Can you repeat the question? We can't hear.
You can't hear her because she's not in the Zoom system, but she's sitting in a chair in the room. Basically, she's agreeing with the Ramban. Okay, I'm going to move on. I don't want to open up another discussion. There are many discussions to open, you know, about a lot of things. But we have to, be focused. I'm not always focused. It's my fault. Now, I told myself, 2022 resolution, focus. Okay. Now, the Klei Akar, we don't often quote him as Rabbi Ephraim Lunshitz, the very first pulpit rabbi in the history of Judaism in the 1600s in Poland. Very first. Im ane ta'ane oto. So he is also bothered with syntax. He's bothered with the language. It should say, because it's speaking about two personalities. It's speaking about the widow and the orphan. So that's plural. So it should say imane ta'ane otam. Yet it's oto. Otami bayole. That's one question. Why did it change? Umahu hakefal ane ta'ane tsa'ok tsa'ok shomoa eshma. Why the dramatic flourish of doubling up on the verbs? Ubederech hapshat nuchal lomar. Just straight parshanut, straight learning the verse and the text. We can say the following. Let's say you have a child who has no father, he has a mother, and you cause the child tremendous distress. He's bullied in school. The teacher calls you up and says, your son is bullying this other boy. Well, you know, my son's a good son. He's a good boy. I don't know why you're complaining. That could happen. And the mother of the child was being bullied, the imo almana, because she has no husband. She's an almana. She lost her husband. He's dead. Eineha ro'ot v'chalot ve'ein le'el hatzilat b'na. She calls up the principal. The principal goes, oh, we spoke to the parents, and I don't know. It's not like your son says, even though the principal knows this exactly what took place. But they don't want to start up with these people, especially if they're on the board or something, especially if they give large donations. You're an almana. You're here basically on charity. So the mother knows she's helpless. I have no husband. I'm going against other people, husbands and wives. I'm absolutely helpless. The principal's not going to help me. So, while yede inui echad mehem, so just by bullying the child who is a orphan, shnehem unim, b'shnehem tzawakim, the mother automatically becomes distressed and she cries out to God. B'hakadosh baruch hu shomea l'shnehem, u'ma'anisho b'kefel. That's what the Torah is saying. It's a double language because God is going to give you punishment twice: once for the child, once for the parent, once for the mother. Now that's straight pshat. He says, but the Torah is alluding to something else, which is Shakadosh Baruch Hu avi yitomim, that God becomes the father of all orphans. Imkein vaday b'chol tzaratam lo tzar. And therefore, if you hurt my son, so you hurt me. So God becomes hurt, as it were. whenever you hurt the child. If you cause the widow, if you cause the child distress, God says you're causing me distress. I don't like to be distressed, not by you. You're immortal. So God begins to cry out, which means midat hadin mikatreget alav, the mala. Then the midat hadin becomes aroused for punishment. So you have the children and the widow down in the lower spheres, and you have the midat hadin in the higher spheres. Vayatam tzoek lamatla kadosh baruch hu rachaman mikabel tzaakat shnehem. And that's why the consequence is v'chara api, the harakta otam. Okay. Two nice perushim. Now, the Sfarno, he was Italian, Renaissance. So he has a more modern approach to understanding the verse. It says, lo ta'anun, do not oppress them. Do not cause them distress or suffering. But it's im ta'ane, ta'ane oso. It doesn't say lo ta'anun. That's what it should say. Do not cause them suffering. Why does it say im ane ta'ane oso in the singular? It means, says the Sforno, im kishe ta'ane ta'yatom tiyah kavanatcha la'anoto bilvad. It means that you're causing pain to the child for the sake of causing him pain. But what aval im ta'aneu li yasro ulehitiv lo? In other words, you can go a little bit too far. What if the child, because he's an orphan, is a terrible brat? What if he's dangerous? What if he's running amok? What if he is without any kind of discipline? So if you discipline the child, even though it's distress for him, ein ze ela gemilut chasadim. Sometimes distressing somebody is for their own benefit, for their own good, so you're not going to be punished. So if you're a teacher, if you're a person dealing with children who don't have parents, so then you have to be very careful, obviously. But you also have to be judicious in what you do. You can't just let them do anything they want. That's not for their benefit. That's not for their good. That's not what the Torah prohibits. I thought that was very, very modern. For the 1600s, very modern. Okay. Now, we're going to interrupt this approach because there's a mechilta. Now, we're just saying very few words about mechilta. Mechilta is part of an older body of Jewish literature that is on par with the Mishnah. And it's known as Midrash Halacha. We're used to Midrash Agadah. You're saying Medrash. And usually we're using Midrash Agadah, which deals with themes and stories and interpretations of the verses beyond the text. But Midrash Halacha were bodies of work that were written by the early Tanaim. And for the most part, they are the exegetical devices that are used to extract laws from the Torah, to show where the laws that we have by tradition, where you can actually see them in the Torah using various tools. And this is the Mechilta of, Mechilta means the Medrash Halacha of Shmot. And there are different versions. This is Rabbi Yishmael, who was a colleague of Rabbi Akiva. And this is what they write. We're going to go, Kol almana v'yatom lo ta'anun, ein li ela almana v'yatom, sha'ar kol adam linayin. This was exactly what Rashi's quoting this Mechilta. Tamaloma lo ta'anun, divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Almana v'yatom shedarkon le'anot. Bahendi b'hakatuv. No, the Torah is speaking about the almana and the yatom exclusively. Okay. Now, the Midrash Halacha goes on and does something unusual, tells a story. So it says, im ane ta'ane oto. Now, the Midrash Halacha is reacting to the double verbs because it has to have a reason. So the Midrash says, echad inui mirubeh ve'echad inui mu'at. So you might think that you can make a joke to the widow okay, a little bit, it's a little bit off, and she might feel bad about it. But come on, you know, you have to have a sense of humor. That's okay. I'm not going to like say, no, you can't come over together with the other couples because you're not a couple. I'm not going to say that. That's like horrible. Well, you know, that's okay. So therefore it says, no, maybe it's okay with your friends, but not with the yatom, not the almana. Echad inui merubev, echad inui muat. Makes no difference. Any kind of distress that you cause. Davar acher, another interpretation. Im ane ta'ane, magid she'ino chayab ad she'ane v'yishane. That you have to do it twice before God will punish you. It's not once you get a pass. But if you do it again, you don't get a pass. Now, here's the story. Now, we know about the Asara Harugei Malchut. We know all about that. We read it on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. And we know the names of the people. So among those 10 people were Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon. So it says, Kfar Hayah Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Yotzin Leharei. They were taken to the great arena in Caesarea to be killed in front of the throngs of Romans. Amalo Rabbi Shimon the Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi, libi yotze, my heart goes out. She'eini yodeya alma ani neharag. I want to do tshuva before I die. I don't know what my sin was. Why am I being killed? I went through my life. I didn't do anything that's worthy of being killed. Amalo Rabbi Yishmael the Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yishmael said to Rabbi Shimon, oh, really? Really? You're so astounded. Miyamecha lo ba adam etzlecha l'din o l'sheila. It never happened to you that somebody came to ask you a question or a law. It never happened that somebody came to ask you a question or a law. You were finishing your cup. Say, I have to finish my cup of coffee. This Keurig stuff is expensive. I got to finish the cup. Then I'll answer the question. Oh, no el sandlecha. You didn't tie your shoes. Now I'm going to tie my shoes first. Oh, otev talitcha. Or you didn't put on your jacket. You didn't. That never happened in your whole life. Of course it happened. But Amra Torah imane tane. If it was somebody that felt distress, why isn't the rabbi reacting to my plea? Why isn't the rabbi reacting to my question? Echad inui meruba va'achad inui muat. Even though it sounds like a small amount of distress of making the people wait a little bit, it's distress. U'bedavar hazeh amala. When Rabbi Shimon heard what Rabbi Yishmael said, he said, oh, Nechamtani Rebbe, now I got it. Now I understand why I should be killed. To me, his reaction is more important than the statement. Okay, we're going to come back to the story. Because the Malbim wants us to come back to the story. Okay, so the Malbim deals with this pasuk as well. But he deals with it in the context of this mechilta. Kol almana v'yatom lo tanum, number 8. Thank you, Julian. You're perfect. Oh, what a guy. Rabbi Yishmael sabale she'almana v'yatom ba l'dugma. Rabbi Yishmael believes that the widow and the orphan are only examples. V'tzano lomar kol hachalashim b'ha'anitkem. Anybody who is weak, anybody who feels oppressed, kamo almana v'yatom, similar to an almana v'yatom. For Rabbi Akiva sabere, Rabbi Akiva argues she almana v'yatom dafka, that it's only speaking about the almana and the yatom. Not that Rabbi Akiva thinks it's okay to oppress anybody else, but that's not what this verse is speaking about. The Rashi zal b'peirusho tafas k'shitat Rabbi Yishmael, and we see that Rashi followed Rabbi Yishmael as opposed to Rabbi Akiva. But Harambam pasak Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva And the Rambam goes like Rabbi Akiva, that is speaking only about an almana and the yatom. Umivoar sheRabbi Yishmael kashitate shesava leishel lefa'amim tafas hakatuv davar echad ledugma k'mashe katuv b'mechilta mishpatim b'gimel mekamot halacha okevet mikra. This is the general approach, because there's a mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael and there's a mechilta of Rabbi Akiva. They had different approaches to parshanut. So as far as Rabbi Yishmael is concerned, the law guides how you interpret the verses. And as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, the law is based upon the verse. And then he gives you the examples that you have in Marzea, but you can use, speaking about Eved Ivri, who wants to stay longer than 6 years, you use an AW, Marzea is an AWL, an all, but you can use anything that makes the whole. B'ta'ar, you're not allowed to use a razor, but it's anything that has a sharp edge that takes away the hair. B'sefer, but it's, you use a sefer, but it can be any kind of a document. Okay. B'tzon olama shebaha katuv l'dugma, the Torah only gives you examples, but you can expand the meaning from the examples. V'adin po, tafas dugma almana v'yatom shem chaloshim al p'yarov. So that's Rabbi Yishmael's approach, which follows his general approach. All of the other Tanaim, including Rabbi Akiva, didn't. They have a whole different approach, and through that approach, you have to be more literalists. Okay. Now, let's go to the next paragraph, because the Malbim is a little bit disturbed by this notion that from the double verb ane ta'ane, it includes great distress and a smaller distress. Mashakatuv emane ta'ane echad inui merubah v'echad inui mu'at hitba'er etzleinu shekefel hamakor al ha'poel mitzayin, that whenever you have a verb and it's doubled, it always demonstrates shebechol ofen sheyaseh hapoel. Means it makes no difference how the verb is actualized. It can be shattering or it can be breaking. As long as the object is no longer whole, that's what it means when it's double. V'data tanakama shemitzayim shebechol ofen sheyaseh af inu miyot. And therefore, he maintains even if it's a small amount of distress. The Da'at Rabbi, meaning Rabbi Huda HaNasi, Shemesan Shein Nevi Yishaneh, V'kfar Heveti, Dugma Leze, etc., etc. Okay, let's move on to the story. We're now, same paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. Just watch, looking at the clock, that's why. V'tir'eh me'hama aseh shehivi. You can, that's why they brought the story of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yishmael amar Rabbi Shimon miyomecha ba eslecha adam ledin b'hadat Rabbi Yishmael b'frat halmum shebaal plukta depo hu Rabbi Yishmael hanerad shehatzivui hu b'chol adam uv'chol inui af inui mu'at. Rabbi Yishmael always understood that this verse means even the smallest amount of distress. And not only the almana and the yatom, but any person. And therefore, zesha katuv amrat Torah emane tane echad inui merube veechad inui muat. And that's why he told Rabbi Shimon, so you finish your cup of coffee, it doesn't sound like a terrible thing. No, that's a small amount of distress. What does it say? V'chara apiv v'harakti etchem becharev. And that's exactly how Rabbi Shimon died. They pulled off his head with a sword. For Rabbi Akiva, all these rabbis, by the way, all were martyrs. All of them end up dying by the hands of the Romans. People never liked Jews. It's not like, you know, Coleyville, Texas. How come Jews don't get this? They don't get it. For Rabbi Akiva, l'shitato, she'eno medaber rak b'yatom va'amana,
Okay,
Because the Medrash goes on to say, Rabbi Akiva's students asked him, Rebbe, why are all of these great rabbis being killed? And you're going to be killed also. They ask him, this president in prison. He said, the reason is because God does not want everybody to see what's going to happen to the Jews after they die. And that's when they had terrible, the Herodian edicts against the Jews. Because he felt they were innocent, even if they drank their cup of coffee. Okay. Now we're going to go to Rabbi Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, who has his own interpretation here. Now it's important, I think, to know that Rabbi Shimshon Rafal Hirsch is 19th century, and he's German, and he has his own etymology of Judaism, which I think is ingenious, even though any etymologist will tell you this is not how you analyze language. And Hirsch would say, okay. Meanwhile, they buy my books and not yours. Okay. So he says, the word almana, mishoresh ilim, meaning somebody who cannot speak. That's somebody who physically cannot speak. The yatom mishoresh yatam, karov ligidim katua yad b'lashon chachamim. And the word yatom, phonetically, is like the word ligadim, somebody with a mutilated hand, or katam, something that's broken off. Meaning to say, that this woman, the mot ba'ala avad la la'amana pitchon peh, that when this woman lost her husband, she lost her mouth. Meaning, b'shuvein la mishi yedaber ba'ada, she has nobody to speak for her any longer. The mot aviv, and this child who lost his father, Nishar Hayatam Ba'azlat Yad. The child remains like somebody who lost his arm. Meaning to say, he has nobody to depend upon, nobody to lead him, nobody to take his hand. Veshuv Ein Lo Mash'enet U'Madrich. He has nobody to depend upon, and he has nobody to lead him, to show him the way. And for this reason, Ane, if you persecute them, what does that mean? How do you persecute somebody? So what it means is ligrom la adam sheyargish es anyo. It's when you cause a person to realize his loss, to realize what he does not any longer have. That's what inui is. Tahainu et hamatzav hitalut shehu matzui bo. The disadvantage that he finds himself in. That is what ane means. You have no father. That's inui. You don't have to hit him. The natzel ra'at chushato v'chosi yisho, and the person no longer has anybody to save them from any kind of evil or from their weakness that they actually have, or their lack of chosi yisho, any lack of protection. The ne'emar kan kol almana. Why does it say kol almana, every widow? It should just say almana. She came lo rak almanut aniyut v'yetomim aniyim af ashirim chashufim l'ma'aseh inui v'hitalalut. Doesn't have to be a poor person. Well, she's a rich widow. She has $1 billion. She inherited $1 billion. She's included in this missive because she may have money, but she has nobody. To take care of her. And then he goes on to say the following. These people, kol amarav yatam lo te'anun. Now why would you have to say that to decent people? So he says, barov hamedinot, mitpalim et hazarim l'ra'a, u'makapchim et zuchuyotehem. In most societies, the alien is not treated in the same manner as regular citizens. And in most areas, the rights of the alien are reduced as opposed to regular citizenry. Hapichok, and that's the law. Ulachain Hushara Hamedina Hayehudit. Therefore, God is saying, I don't want the Jewish society to be like all other countries. The pasuk hakodem, and that's the reason why this is introduced with Figer lo tilchatzena, kegerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. That's the follow through about a ger. I don't want that to take place among Jews, and I don't lo ta'anun. So Hashem is warning the Jewish people about this. And what they need to do is l'umat zot kasha yelim tzoma rechet chukim hamatira ki puach almanot v'yitomim. It may be true about societies and illegal aliens, but it's not going to be true about yisomim and almanos. There's no society, says Hirsch, probably even true today, where widows and orphans are mistreated by, as a matter of a law. That's not true. That's not going to happen. And therefore, he says, based upon that, let me just find the place. What am I up to? Sorry. No. But when it comes to social settings, but with you, with interpersonal relationships, netunim anashim ela hamishulalim netzigut, these people who have reduced general rights because of who they are, mishanet b'hadracha, they have nobody to rely on, nobody to lead them. The kipuach ulahashpala mishim kach ponea torah lachevat chile b'omeret, because these things, these trespasses will take socially, and therefore God bypasses the authorities in the state, and he goes straight to the people. And he says, don't you people do this. Lo ta'anun. Al tenatzlu et chulshatam l'ra'a. Don't take their weakness and turn it around against them. Al tigrimu lehem shi'agish v'tsevel nechitutam. Don't let them feel the suffering of their helplessness. So that's how Hirsch understands the psukim. Okay. Okay, I'm going to skip the rest of it, where he distinguishes between the Yatom and the Almana, but I'd like to just go on. We're going to go to page 4. We don't often read Avraham Kurman. Avraham Kurman was the postmaster general of Jerusalem for many, many years and the author of 13 books. Absolute genius. Autodidact, absolute genius. Wrote about every area of human life. Science books, physics books, sociology books, history books, Torah books. Absolute genius. Absolute genius. Okay. So it says, if they'll call out, in tzaok yitzak elai, shamea eshma tzaka. So if they cry out to me, I'm going to listen. So it makes it sound like v'im hanivga lo yitzak. What if they don't cry out? They have a stiff upper lip. So God's not going to do anything? Amar Hagra, the Vilna Gaon wrote. Now, I have never been able to find where this Vilna Gaon is. But he must know. Shelefa'amim matzav shelema'ano yesh kavana tova. Sometimes you cause a widow or a orphan pain for their own good, right? The Sfarno even said you're allowed to. Kadesha ha mu'unak yitzak l'kachu ye'anim en ha'shamayim. You say, let me put the person's position. Let me explain to the woman exactly what her position is. It's going to be cruel to do that, but then she'll call out to God. So maybe God will help her. I can't help her, but I wanted to know exactly what her inferior position is. Yoshia Hanavi Misefer Shmuel al Elkanah Shulashdin Hashem. As a matter of fact, the person does that because they know the book of Shmuel. And the book of Shmuel speaks about Elkanah. Elkanah has two wives, Penina and Hannah. Hannah has no children. Penina has a whole bunch of children. Livishonah Yuli Ladim El Khanialo. Penina Tziarat Chana, it says there that she caused her distress and caused her pain. You have no children. I have children. You have no children. It must be hard not to have any children. So her, that's what she said to her. And why did she do that? What happened was, so she cried out to God. She went to the Mishkan. She cried out to God. And she got Shmuel as a gift. Shayel Navi B'Yisrael. But Agadot Nisupar, and in the Agadah, it tells the story, she called Yaldei Penina Metu, V'Nishara Galmuda, that eventually all of Penina's children died, and she was left without any children. Kamo Kein Nisupar. Similarly, another Medrash says, She Penina Lo Ratzta Lahazik L'Tza'er Et Chana. She didn't do it to really cause Chana any pain. Her real intention was, Elisabra, She Imtitza'er Et Chana, Yerachim Olam En HaShamayim, V'Yituchal HaLedeh. That if she would cause her pain, God would have mercy and allow her to have children. That was her intention. Ulam, what do you see? Says the Vilna Gaon. Her intentions were good. Let's assume her intentions were good. What was the result? Ulam ro'im anu shelimrot kavanata l'shem shamayim hi ne'ensha al shetziyarat chana. She was punished. She lost her children. Zem masha amar ha'pasuk im ta'ane oto rak bishol kach bishol kach. If the only reason you distress them is to call out to me for me to have mercy, I'll listen to it. But you have no right to do that, even if your intention is good. And you can actually see this commentary of the Vilna Gaon if you look carefully at the text. Why doesn't it say, if you distress them, I will get angry, I will punish? So much so that Rashi has to say, Gazam, Yesh Pasuk Katsem, Yesh Kantnai. What we see over here is there is a condition. Ki im yatzaok yitzak elai misignon ze efshur elai lahavin, shebimatzav kaze shakavana tova la'azor la velo lifgoa. Because you might have thought, maybe you're allowed to jibe the person to get her to pray to God. I don't care why you distressed her or him. All I know is you distressed them. But if she forgives you, if you get forgiven for the distress, so then you don't get punished. That's a tremendous chidush that he says. And finally, I would like to read a piece. We don't often read these pieces. It's in English, but it's a beautiful, beautiful piece from Rabbi Soloveitchik in the Umashim that the shul actually gives out and nobody takes, a few people take. Okay. So, so, I'm going to read it fast because it's English. What type of an oppression does the Bible prohibit? Murder, mutilation, causing of severe pain, destruction of property. Not only these, but lesser evils as well. That would be mu'at. Whatever affects the peace of mind of the widow or the orphan is considered oppression. A word, a gesture, a facial expression by which the widow or the orphan feels hurt. In short, whatever causes an accelerated heartbeat that comes under repression. The following is recorded in Tractate Smachot when Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Ishmael appeared before the Romans and were condemned to death. Rabbi Shimon wept and Rabbi Ishmael said, "Sir, you are but two steps from the bosom of the righteous and yet you weep." He answered, "I weep because we are being executed as if we were murderers." To which Rabbi Ishmael answered, "Perhaps you were at the table or asleep and a woman came to inquire about our ritual purity. And the attendant told her he's asleep. For the Torah said, if you torment them, the widow and the orphan, and continue, then I shall kill you by the sword." That's similar to the Medrash that we read, the Mechilta. What was wrong with Rabbi Shimon's conduct? He had come home exhausted after a full day's work and laid down for a short rest. It had been a busy day. The entire load of communal responsibilities pressed heavily on his frail shoulders. Cruel Rome continued its ruthless policy of religious persecution and economic ruin of the people. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel had to perform an almost impossible task. to negotiate with, as well as defy the conquerors, to communicate with his Jewish brethren, telling them not to despair, and at the same time ready them for rebellion and the supreme sacrifice. While he was dozing, a woman entered with an inquiry. Is she ritually pure or impure? The intendant, knowing how fatigued Rabbi Shimon was, advised her to wait until he awoke. He did not wish to disturb Rabbi Shimon. How then did Rabbi Shimon afflict the woman? The woman was a poor widow and extremely sensitive. While waiting for Rabbi Shimon, the thought went through her head, had my rich neighbor come with a similar question, the attendant would have acted differently. He would have aroused Rabbi Shimon because of my poverty and loneliness, she thought. He didn't mind making me wait. She sighed and brushed away a tear. So Rabbi Shimon did afflict the widow and thus violate a biblical prohibition. Her tear was responsible for the tragic death of Rabbi Shimon. A great oppression and a small oppression are all the same. The degree of hurt is irrelevant. Causing transient humiliation and causing severe physical pain are both subsumed under affliction. Wow. Ibn Ezra comments on the transition of the plural form of the verb lo ta'anun im anei ta'aneh, followed by again by the plural of harakti etchem. The use of the plural form of the verb suggests that both the oppressor as well as the passive observer will be considered equally guilty of the same transgression. Right? We saw this, Ibn Ezra. And each is to be punished with the same death penalty. There are no other instances in the Torah where the onlooker receives the same punishment as the instigator. For example, if one observes a Jew who desecrates the Shabbos and does not object, he may not have fulfilled his obligation to rebuke his fellow Jew, but he is certainly not guilty of having transgressed the Sabbath himself. The Torah here warns that we must have no tolerance for cruelty and that the observer who does not protest is considered as culpable as the perpetrator himself. The prohibition of lo sa'anun is similar to the prohibition of watching passively as a fellow Jew is being killed. Neither the nature nor the magnitude of the oppression mitigates the punishment. Inui mu'at is as punishable as inui miruba, signified by the dual form of the phrase ane ta'ane. Even though Rabbi Shimon's act of inui would appear trivial, if the widow was hurt through the Rabbi Shimon's delay, the offense is punishable. When one actively persecutes a widow or an orphan, he inflicts a great deal of psychological harm. In other instances, the oppression is much more subtle and requires a sensitivity to the hurt one may be afflicting. For this reason, the Torah uses a grammatical form involving verb repetition throughout the section, indicating that one is culpable for both forms of oppression, ane ta'ane, whether the oppression is greater or lesser, shamoa eshma, God listens in both cases to the widow who cries out in pain, tsa'ok yitzak, in reaction to either situation. That's how Rabbi Soloveitchik will learn a medrash. Really, singular. I'm just going to end. The reason that I chose this topic, you may not have heard of it here, but we have plenty of it here, that in Israel there was a person, a very famous rabbi, author of books, who was accused by 28 women of molestation. And it took a very, very long time for anybody to react. And that's something, it's terrible. It's terrible. When a rabbi hears of a molestation, you've got to jump. Forget about the other person. Take care of the woman who's being, or the child who's being harmed, irreparably harmed. So something to sensitize ourselves. We live in a very insensitive world. We have to always sensitize ourselves because we're Jews. Okay. Have a good day, everybody.